This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum and thispipelife.com. We thank them for their support of this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD.
Hey, Bo. Good evening, man.
Man, good evening to you, sir. How you doing tonight?
You know, I'm doing well. It's been quite a nice few days here. Real busy around the shop, which is kind of uncharacteristic for this time of year. But yeah, man, doing great. Things are good. What's going on with you?
Getting ready to jump back on the road again, or actually hop in an airplane and fly away. I'm actually heading down to Miami first thing tomorrow morning. So actually, by the time the podcast goes live, I will be in the Miami area looking around for a nice pipe shop as well as Pokemon. Ideally, I'll find a pipe shop that has a gym like yours.
I know that's the thing. There is a Pokemon gym, whatever that means, right behind our shop. And so, hopefully you'll find the perfect combination of these things in Miami.
Pokemon and pipes, man. Who knew?
That might be an episode. No, it's not. The next thing you're gonna do is be like, let's have a Pokemon and tobacco pairing.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea. What is the best
terrifying
tobacco for your Squirtle? Absolutely wonderful.
What did someone said the other day? The hardest one to find is the Penzance chew.
right. That was good.
You can't ever find that one.
Hey, got to smoke them all. Look, man, we've got a great show. We've got some wonderful news that's happening in the pipe community as a whole.
Yeah, a lot going on here.
Yeah, man, the New York Pipe Club is having their 8th annual summer barbecue. That's actually going down this coming Saturday, July the 30th.
That's awesome.
So be sure to check out their website for all the details. I know that for those of you up in the New York area, this is an annual tradition. I remember last year was the first time that we actually shared out that this was happening.
Yeah.
Man, could you imagine some New York style barbecue happening upstate?
You know, what exactly is New York barbecue? Does New York have a style to
New York has a style.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm not familiar enough with the barbecue to know. I mean, I know there's people fight over this kind of stuff.
But. Well, it's one of these things. I mean, it's not real barbecue because the only real barbecue comes from Memphis. Or from Tennessee as a whole. But regardless, and yes, Texas, that's what I said.
There's so much hate thought right now. Yeah. What's your favorite barbecue place in Memphis? Bo, for those of y'all who don't know, lived in Memphis for a number of years and got familiar with it. Memphis, of course, a lot of pulled pork. They do ribs.
Ribs, big time ribs.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. And I've said this before on the podcast, but Memphis is really more about dried ribs, dried rub barbecue.
Yeah.
For me, in terms of barbecue quality, it's about Central Barbecue. If you're actually talking about experience, you got to go to the Rendezvous.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, the Rendezvous.
So you gotta go.
Even in stores down here, a lot of times you can find the Rendezvous seasoning that they bottle up and then sell at the grocery store, which is kind of cool.
Man, speaking of stores, your store kind of had a baptism of sorts over the last couple of days. What day was this?
It was Friday.
Friday?
The
official blessing of the shop.
Yeah, it was really interesting. You know, after our event, which I'll describe in a moment, but a lot of, I had at least two people come up to me and mention, what other tobacco shop would have an event like this? Like, it was just a very strange, kind of wonderful evening that, we're sitting here in the middle of a cigar and pipe shop and we had this event. It was really cool. So, for those of y'all that are regular listeners, you'll know that about a month and a half ago, almost 2 months ago, I purchased the Country Squire from the original family that owned the shop. And of course, this big time in my life personally, and the shop, kind of continuing on its tradition for the next, it's been here 45 years. We hope another 45 years to be here. And I thought it would be kind of a neat idea to have an event where we just kind of mark the new season in the shop, the next chapter. Just to be frank, just kind of, ask God's blessing on our business and, the community that is here and, the work that we do and the effort that we put into it and all that. And so, it was just really neat to kind of to celebrate the Squire, rally the community to kind of celebrate our community, but then also, just ask for, God's provision for the community and the shop. And, it was really special.
Yeah, I kind of
it was really special.
Described it to my wife after the fact as it was kind of like a ribbon cutting meets a baptism meets a rehearsal dinner.
Yeah,
like it was that kind of feel, you know, vibe that was going on. And it was a blast, man. We even got a chance to all share some stories about the Squire and you personally and what that's meant to various clients and friends and family. And speaking of which, I got a chance to meet your parents.
You did, man. You did.
They're tuning in now.
They probably are.
Hey, guys.
Man, it was great. Of course, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Cole, avid viewers of Country Squire Radio and now avid supporters of our shop for a very obvious reason, but well they were before too,
right,
but they're
right,
like they're really pulling for us now,
right.
So it was great. You know, the priest at my Anglican church, Father Keith Allen, he showed up and it was really cool. He anointed the door with oil, which was really nice, and prayed over me, prayed over the shop, and we had kind of a liturgy set up. So there was this responsive prayer back and forth between the people that were here and him. And it was really pretty special. So yeah, it was very, very funny just for a tobacco shop, you know, to have this thing.
That's right.
I one of my best friends, Joseph, walked up to me, you know, that night, and he was like, what? He held up this paper that we kind of did, you know, used as this service form. And he was like, who the hell does this? Like, he was like, there is no other place in America that would do this in a tobacco shop. It was pretty cool. So, just a lot of fun times here around the Squire. We're, you know, kind of pushing forward into a new season. And it's one of those things where, you know, things are going to be a little different as far as the feel of the shop. We've got more inventory now and, you know, we've kind of moved some of the shop's, you know, furniture around, things like that. But the feel is, it's just us, man. It's just the shop. It's just the story. It's the community. And, man, we ain't going nowhere.
It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It was an honor to be present for that. And, I did take the liberty of taking a picture or two and posting that up to the Facebook or the Twitter page. So if you haven't seen it, just to get an idea, you definitely should. It was a really special occasion.
One thing that was really cool, I'll mention quickly on the Facebooks. There's a group called the Reformed Pipe and Cigar Lounge.
Oh, that's right. Absolutely.
I think that's correct. But this guy got on there who was present at the event that night, and he had never been to Jackson before, and or never been to the Squire before.
Wow.
He just happened to show up that evening with a friend, but he's a member of this group, and so he comes in and, like, you know, is just amazed at the celebration. And then he gets online immediately and starts talking about it. So I wake up the next day and I realize that I'm tagged on Facebook, and I'm like, well, let me go check out this tag. And he's like, he's in this group saying, like, man, y'all wouldn't believe, like, this shop, like, it was so interesting, like, you know, that they did this really unique event, and, like, you know, it was just very strange, but it was awesome. And so if you're ever in Jackson, Mississippi, like, you ought to check out this shop. And then someone tagged me and was like, yeah, he's on this group. So it's just this kind of interesting, man. Right. The pipe community is such a small world, and it was cool to be able to make some of those connections.
Man,
but
that's awesome.
Anyway, pretty special weekend.
Yeah, you know, someone who else was here, and somebody who we really haven't talked about all that much. You know, we've been
right.
talking about the fact that you've purchased the shop. It's this huge deal.
That's right.
You know, you have come into your own. You have maxed out. You know, you're at max level here in terms of
in more ways than one.
In terms of your tobacconist, you know, level or title or whatever you could be. And you know, we've mentioned before that Tim, the once intern, then apprentice, then
God bless him,
then master. What did we name him?
No,
before he left?
No, he was the intern and then the apprentice.
Okay,
yeah,
all right.
I thought it was in that direction.
Got it. Well, before he could become the master, he stepped away to get married.
He did,
like you do, and move away, which is sad. However, there was a hole that was missing.
There was
in the community. Of the Country Squire. I mean, a
right.
pretty sizable hole. Look, Tim is, he's a legend in his own right.
Hey, what other tobacconist can't smell?
I know, like that's, and if you don't know what we're talking about, if you're a new listener, go back and
that's
just
right.
search Tim on Country Squire Radio,
yep.
and you'll hear his tale of being a tobacconist assistant and not being able to smell.
just as a kind of a short overview, Timothy Gatewood worked for me here for 3 years now at the Country Squire, and great guy, seminary student, real, you know, interesting personality, very dry wit, all these kind of things, very smart. But he would pitch in occasionally on Country Squire Radio and just you know, we got to know, and our listeners got to know some of his story and personality and all that. And so when he left, we did. We had this void, and we had to do something with it.
Well, so you've got a new apprentice.
I do.
Is he an intern or he's?
He's an intern.
Is he an intern?
I think he's an intern.
Okay, good.
Is that going to flow well enough with his name though?
Caleb the intern.
Caleb the intern.
I can handle that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got a new intern, and it's Caleb.
It is Caleb. Do you think he can handle that, though?
Well, that's the question.
Because Timothy did chafe a little bit under the banner intern.
But see, that
we have to be honest.
That was what made it so much fun. Caleb, no, man. Caleb, your new intern slash apprentice slash Padawan
learner.
I think
he's all about it, dude.
You know, what I love about him is he's kind of a coffee head as well. You know, he's like really into coffee.
No, that's right. Yeah.
So he comes with kind of a love for both things. So I'm hoping at some point that we can introduce Caleb to the world. Caleb the intern to the world is both a I guess he's not a full-fledged tobacconist. He's more like
a tobacconist in training.
TIT.
How about we don't say that?
Yeah, that's probably. Let's not do that. But yeah, no, of course, Caleb, the intern. So we thought that we should share.
There's a new kid on the block. Yeah, okay. We'll talk more about Caleb down the road. But Caleb joining us here within the past month, and he originally from Washington State, moved here a few years ago. Finished up high school here in the local area. Went to Mississippi College for a little while. And now is working as a barista at one of our local coffee shops, but then also here at the Country Squire. Caleb, since he was 18, has been a loyal customer of the shop and super into pipe tobacco and just the community here. And so I immediately, knew when I was looking for a replacement for Timothy, there will never be another Tim the Apprentice, I assure you. But when I was looking for a replacement, I was like, man, I've got to think about someone that's going to have the passion for it. And Caleb just kept coming up. And even though I say there's going to be, there will never be another Timothy, I have a really good feeling, but that by the time Caleb hangs up his tobacconist apron, that there will probably never be another Caleb Caleb either.
I'm great.
Really excited about having him, and can't wait for y'all to get to know him as well.
I did tell Caleb at the blessing of the shop, I put my arm on him. I said, "Young man, one day all this will be yours." As in, he'll buy it from you.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
continue.
That'd be great.
The circle of life.
All this will be yours.
No, man. But it's good. We wanted to make sure that you guys knew about it, because often a lot of y'all make your pipe pilgrimage down here to Jackson, Mississippi, visit the shop. And, if you don't happen to come by when John David's in, a lot of times in the past, folks have met Tim. So we want you to call Caleb intern. You can call him the intern.
That's right.
But don't call him Tim.
But don't do that.
That's the thing. Like, don't be like, "Oh, you're Tim." No. But do call him the intern. Let's see how he goes with that.
Speaking of pipe pilgrimages, too, we have had a lot of those in the past 2 months.
Really?
I don't know. I don't know if it's summertime or just kind of this. It became kind of a viral thing. But over the past 2-3 months, like there's just this rash of pipe pilgrimages. It's been awesome, man. People from all over have just flocked here, and it's been really special. So I did something. We had all these people from out of state that are visiting our shop, and you were so honored to have everyone come. So I went and purchased, I don't have it with me tonight, but I got us a guest book, Bo, so that when these people come.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know why we never did this, but when these people come, like we can record kind of where they are and things they have to say, and just document, because we've just had so many people come through.
Do you have quick access to it right now?
No, it's at the
okay.
house.
All but right, cool.
Yeah, that's something it's just exciting where, this has become such a thing out of nothing. It just kind of, the pipe pilgrimage concept just kind of happened, people visiting our pipe shop nestled here in the South, even if they weren't living anywhere close, and it's become this phenomenon. You go on Instagram and there's a hashtag pipe pilgrimage,
and
it's all us, it's all Country Squire Radio listeners coming to enjoy a bowl with folks at our shop.
Man.
And so anyway, we hope to just keep developing that and seeing where that goes. But anyway, you're always encouraged to come visit us at the Squire if you can, and if it's an option for you, let us know that you're coming ahead of time. Just so, I hopefully can kind of clear my calendar, plan to be here, things like that. But regardless, you're always welcome to to make your pilgrimage to your safe space, the Country Squire.
That's good, man. Well, hey, I'm actually about to take my pipe pilgrimage up north in about, I think, three weeks here.
Where are you going?
You know, I go to Grand Rapids every single year.
Oh, yeah. And so, is it that time of year again?
It is. I think it's the second week in August is when I will be in Grand Rapids, kind of the latter half. It won't interrupt our recording schedule, so that's nice. But yeah, I think either a Thursday, probably a Thursday, if not a Friday night, we will probably be getting the Grand Rapids and Midwest Country Squire radio listeners who are in the area and want to meet up. Hopefully going out to a local pub, maybe one of the tobacconists out that way, and doing a meetup. I would love to, if you're out in kind of the Midwest, especially in the Grand Rapids area, more details will be coming out on Facebook and Twitter, and hopefully we'll have a blast. Love those guys up there, man. It's a good group. We got a great show planned for tonight, guys. We are talking a very specific pipe. In fact, actually, man, right before we even kind of met this morning to review the notes for what was going to happen tonight, as we put a lot of preparation into every single show.
Yeah.
I was reviewing actually the last past couple of weeks, and it has been tobacco heavy, man. It's been tobacco. And, you know, the great thing is, you know, you are a big tobacco nerd.
That's right.
Which is a great thing. However, a lot of people come to pipes for the tobacco, but a lot of people come specifically for the pipes.
Isn't that interesting?
It is great, man. I'm kind of one of those myself. I find myself far more interested in the pipes and the various shapes and the history that kind of surrounds the each individual style and the manufacturers. And you know, we try to from time to time take a look at various styles and shapes of pipes. Tonight we are tackling a very iconic pipe. I'm talking about the Calabash
pipes, man. Tackling that is difficult. It's very they're typically kind of large pipes, but we thought we'd take a look at this pipe you know, just from a closer perspective. Interesting point you bring up, Bo. I think you're onto something there. You know, a lot of folks do come to the pipe world because of the image of the pipe, or even, you know, folks that are into carving and woodworking. A lot of times they just find it fascinating that they, you know, could maybe make a pipe themselves.
Yeah.
And don't even, you know, start carving pipes because they are pipe smokers. They just think it'd be kind of fascinating to carve a pipe. And so they get into it and then, you know, invariably will try to, you know, smoke a pipe and start getting into it. And I've met several carvers that came from that direction. But yeah, there's something super, emotional about connecting with the right pipe and with the shape of a pipe. Or it evokes a lot of, you know, emotions and, you know, thoughts about character and things like that. And I think the Calabash is probably the most, iconic, unique of all of them.
Well, you know, to quote a classic John Davidism, you know, when you're smoking a pipe, when you've made the decision to smoke a pipe, you're already making a statement.
That's right.
However, when you're choosing to smoke a Calabash, you're making a big statement.
you really are. Calabash pipes, of course, you know, funny name, and we'll kind of talk about where that comes from here in a minute, but they evoke just this sense of wonder and mystery. They also, because of their storied past, have kind of a you know, since it tied in with the Sherlock Holmes stuff and all that, that kind of makes it just a very romantic pipe to kind of become a part of one story. So, but yeah, the Calabash pipe, Calabash, funny word, right? So, they're called Calabash pipes because the pipe itself, historically, is made from a gourd called the Calabash gourd.
Really?
And so when you're talking about gourd, you heard me right. We're talking about a plant. Okay. So this is a plant that, is basically turned into a pipe. Now you think like, well, why the heck would anyone even try that?
Seems like the plant would catch on fire.
That's right. But, you know, you think about, okay, if you're in a, you know, let's say a, you know, small town in Africa or the Middle East or something, you find, you know, repurposing uses for a lot of different things. And so with these gourds that are very common in, particularly in Africa, they found a lot of uses for these gourds. And so you'd use them, bowls for, you know, either water or wine or, you know, some type of food, you know, you eat out of them. You could even use them, the smaller ones, as utensils, almost like a spoon or something like that.
And one of the coolest gumbo ladles I've ever seen was actually made out of a gourd.
Was it really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. A lot of different things, of course, can come from these things and a lot of different things can come from these gourds. And it's funny, even in Nigeria, it's known that because of their motorcycle laws, you're required to have a helmet when you ride a motorcycle, just like you are here. And they sometimes will let a half of a calabash gourd on top of your head count as a helmet to get through the legal laws. And so, a lot of these people will actually put, you know, they'll just chop off a gourd calabash and put it on their head, and that, that counts as their helmet.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but
it's just crazy.
A calabash gourd is not necessarily what one would consider to be a durable thing.
No, I think it's just more for show.
out of curiosity, right there, is that a calabash gourd right
no,
there?
No, and, okay. And actually in a minute I need to probably go get that. That one of our customers, Bo, is pointing to a pipe in our shop right now that is made out of a gourd, but it's one of our customers made that, and he called it a redneck calabash. So this is a gourd that's indigenous to the South here. And this gentleman carved a really long pipe out of it. Isn't that cool?
That's insane.
Yeah, it's insane.
So this is a gourd, but not a calabash.
That's correct. Okay. Yeah. So, and the gourd actually grew that way. It's got this really long kind of stem, and then the, orb at the bottom that, he just drilled out and made a pipe bowl out of. So,
now that I have it, it's so big, I don't know where to put
it. Yeah. You don't even know what to do. What do I do with my hands? What do I do? Yeah. Right. Just put it there. It'll be all right. But, so anyway, these calabashes, obviously very versatile and, you know, used for a lot of different things. I mean, for goodness sakes, if you can use it for a motorcycle helmet, you can smoke tobacco out of it.
Right,
and so
right.
Eventually that's, what folks started doing. And the commonplace, which you see a lot, you know, historically, is the inside of the bowl was lined with meerschaum. Occasionally you'd find porcelain, but typically meerschaum. And what that allowed was kind of a cradle for the tobacco at the very top of the gourd. And so the tobacco could sit there and burn, still have lots of air pulled through it. And the fire, the heat, or the burning tobacco actually would not have direct contact with the gourd.
Interesting.
And so that allowed, you know, the gourd to be durable and still smoke through, but it, you know, just protected it from the actual fire of the pipe.
And likewise protected the meerschaum that was inside. Right, the gourd would actually, I mean, I would imagine that. So you're actually smoking.
Yeah. Oh yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. That's right. It worked both ways. So, but the calabash is fascinating, and the reason probably its most iconic characteristic is the shape. And the reason it has that shape is because they naturally took how the gourd grew and would make these pipes out of it, and they would select the ones that were the most conducive to carving a pipe. But then what they found is that as the gourd grew, they could actually shape the gourd as it was growing. Just like if you have ever grown a vine or, you know, tomatoes or
pumpkins.
Something, you can actually shape, you know, the direction that the vine grows or even what the vegetable sometimes looks like if it's a certain kind of thing. You even think of like bonsai trees and stuff like this that you can actually kind of shape as it grows. And so they would take these gourds, and as it was growing, they would shape it in what they figured out was the most appropriate and, best shape to smoke a pipe out of. And so each gourd, if you smoke a calabash gourd that you buy today, brand new, that is a plant that has been grown in a very specific shape on purpose, by painstaking labor, and meticulous, care to make that very specific shape, which is just amazing to me. You're smoking out of a plant.
So that's good. That's what I was trying to figure out. So even still today, a calabash pipe is actually the gourd on the exterior. That hasn't been replaced with like a thin briar or anything like that.
Well, okay. So you do, because it is so incredibly hard of a process to make these calabashes in the shape of the pipe, and it's become just incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about, okay, pipe, smoking is, although we're in a huge renaissance today, it's not what it was back in maybe the 50s or 60s, just as far as sheer numbers go. And so you don't have as many makers now that are, you know, committed to going through all the time and labor of making these calabashes into the shape of pipes. And so because of that, calabash pipes are extremely expensive. I think the last one we had in the shop was maybe $325, a beautiful Bouchocan calabash pipe, speckled gourd, real light gourd that had these wonderful little speckles on it. It's very, very pretty, real large meerschaum bowl. But, you know, you're just not going to find a genuine calabash pipe that's you know, under $200. I mean, you're just not. So what a lot of these folks have done is they've started to mimic this shape, but with other material, typically mahogany.
Rich mahogany.
Yeah, that's right. So you'll have these mahogany calabash pipes, which obviously are carved in the same shape, but you know, you just don't have to go through the painstaking process of of growing it into the specific shape. So also, you've got folks like at Briarworks, our friends up there, Pete Prevost and those fellas. They will take briar and carve briar into the shape of a calabash, which so you've got kind of this doubly cool, you know, experience of smoking a briar pipe, but also that has a meerschaum bowl set into it. Yeah. And some calabashes too, because of their versatility. I mean, you've got, you know, if you're not familiar with a calabash, think of this swooping shape. You've got this large opening at the very top, and the meerschaum typically has been set inside of this pipe in order to contain the tobacco, act as this kind of carriage for the tobacco. But because of that, you know, it doesn't have to be meerschaum. Like I mentioned earlier, sometimes people use porcelain. And now you've even got folks experimenting with things like morta, making morta bowls to
really?
Go inside the briar or
really?
Inside the gourd, which
wow.
is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And then also briar bowls. And so you might have a mahogany calabash, but it's got like a briar bowl set inside. And again, these are, we've seen the pipe transition from being called a calabash because it's the plant into kind of being called calabash because it's just the name has been associated with the shape, obviously.
Yeah, and I mean, like, you know, for if you're still not kind of picturing this, I mean, it's the classic Sherlock Holmes pipe. Now,
yeah,
Sherlockians
yeah.
will run, you know, rush to explain that, of course, that was not actually Sherlock's classic pipe.
That's right.
However, it is kind of the most iconic imagery when you think of Sherlock Holmes. He's got that very large, long calabash pipe that kind of swoops up. And, you know, you talked about the insert. It's almost like the meerschaum is just kind of pluming out of the pipe.
That's right.
Around the actual gourd itself. Now, I'm curious because, you know, you think about meerschaum, you think about morta as well as being very breathable and, you know,
yeah.
with the porous and everything. So to have it where it's actually inside the pipe but encased in something else, even a gourd,
right.
do you actually lose, like, is it a different smoking experience from that standpoint?
It is a different smoking experience. And I always call it more of an airy pull. So think,
huh.
you know, a lot of times when you smoke a pipe, and, you know, I always try to get new pipe smokers to sit down with me for at least 5 minutes and let me show them kind of how to pack their pipe and light it and tamp it to keep it lit and all these kind of things. But, and a lot of times I describe, you know, how you, when you pack your pipe, the kind of little bit of resistance that you want when you pull on the bowl just to feel like there's something in the chamber. A lot of times with the calabash, you're not going to get that. Because there's just so much empty air in the pipe, and so you know, you've got this large vacuum, this large chamber of air, and so they just smoke extraordinarily cool. It's one of the coolest smokes out there. I mean, whether it's a, you know, meerschaum pipe or a morta or a church warden, like, there's just something about a calabash because of its structure It's so exposed to air that it's just a cool smoke. Yeah, really interesting. So as the tobacco, of course, burns in the chamber, which is, you know, typically traditionally, you know, meerschaum, the smoke goes through the rest of the pipe, which is just a gourd, super breathable. It's just a very thin-walled plant, you know, and then eventually exits into your mouth, and by that time has you know, gone through a lot of mileage, and you know, is just cool and comfortable.
Very cool, man. Yep. All right, so I'm curious. Do you now, or have you ever smoked a calabash pipe?
I have not actually. Yeah, I've got to get one. It's one of those that I don't have in my rotation yet. But I have smoked one before. I've never owned one.
Oh, okay, yeah. Gotcha.
But I have smoked one.
But so, yep. You know, I do occasionally see them in the shop. Now, it's not necessarily one that you know, you tend to have, I guess, in kind of a mass quantity.
Yeah, you know, because they're such significant purchases, and because it's not the most practical pipe, you know, even more than a church warden, right. Calabashes are just they're just not practical pipes. I mean, this is a big plant that you're smoking out of. It is clumsy and has different pieces to it that other pipes don't normally have, and so. You know, a lot of times, like meerschaums, you'll see them put into cases, leather, hard bound cases that will kind of protect them and things like that. But, as cool as they smoke, they're just not practical. So a lot of times, and because they're so expensive, we'll just carry them, more around the holidays and things like that. But you'll find plenty of people out there that, make them and sell them. You know, although they're just, they're not nearly as common as they used to be. So they're much more pricey. One thing too, I love, occasionally you'll find a calabash where there's actually been someone, that has carved into the calabash gourd itself. And so you think about like the meerschaum pipes where folks have carved into the meerschaum. A lot of times some folks will even, you know, have the, courage to carve into the calabash gourd itself.
Really?
And so they're kind of, and the gourd typically is pretty thin walled, you know, but they're even take that kind of effort even after growing this gourd to to make it even more beautiful and unique. And so, you know, these things, it's just, they're just a reason why they're so pricey. They're gorgeous. They're gorgeous.
Ah, I see what you did there. You know, it was interesting. There was a pipe carver that I'm recalling right now from Chicago, although I cannot remember his name.
Yeah.
It was like right before we left, you know, we were kind of walking the floor for the first time.
Yeah.
While we were there.
I'm thoroughly overwhelmed.
Yeah, he was like in the back center, and he had some design, like he had these they were all briar pipes, as I recall, but they had these just intricate designs, like leaves carved into them. And I remember very specifically, he had a calabash shaped pipe that was almost, I want to say, entirely briar.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that's what you've seen a lot, because calabash has kind of become synonymous with the shape itself.
Right.
So we now see pipes that are called calabash pipes that are not made of gourd, have never been made of gourd, but also are, you know, don't have the components that a calabash pipe has. You think of calabash pipes as having, you know, the chamber that's separate from the wood or the plant that makes up the pipe. But calabash has just kind of become a shape of its own, where it's just, you can kind of have this deep curve pipe, and it's a calabash pipe. And so, you know, I think the best known one that we've carried here at the Squire is one by Brebbia, which is gorgeous, gorgeous pipe. I think they retail for maybe $225 or something. They typically will have kind of a silver mount, like a military style mount
on
them.
Yeah.
But then they're just all made of briar, no separate parts or anything, just a very deep kind of U-curve. And so it looks like a calabash, at least from a distance, and so they call it a calabash shape, but it doesn't have separate pieces like you would think of as a traditional calabash pipe.
Interesting.
Yeah. So a lot of cool renditions on it. I'd love to, you know, see more of those things out there. I think, you know, even from American carvers, you've had some folks that have taken that as kind of a challenge and have gone into, you know, trying different ways of making calabash pipes. And even some folks have gone as far as to take horn from different animals and use the horn as kind of a calabash.
Yeah.
I know our friend too, our local pipe carver here, had talked about doing that. And I think he actually even started on one, but, taking a horn from, you know, be it a buffalo or a, who knows what? I don't even know what animals have horns, but
but a bull,
a bull.
I can't imagine that you'd be able to use a deer horn.
They have antlers.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know what the difference is, but I know they have antlers.
According to Wildkratz, I think they're the same biological component.
Really?
Wildkratz is a cartoon show on public broadcasting. And my daughter has just started getting into it.
Wow.
And so they're like...
I was really hoping there was some tie-in to like your kids.
Yeah,
or something.
sorry. Back on the pipes. Yes. Calabash.
But they... you will have folks use these horns and it's very rare, but, and then they'll try to inlay something inside the horn and so I hope to see more of that in the near future too.
Very cool, man. Yep. I got to imagine Calabash pipes, it's such an iconic... looking pipe with kind of that large making a statement bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to sit down and smoke a Calabash, you're committing,
in terms of
the time that you're going to put into that smoke.
That's right.
Which is great because a lot of times you want you want to be able to have a big bowl that you can sit down and you can kind of go to town for a while. But sometimes you don't necessarily need a big bowl.
That's right.
Sometimes you need a small bowl.
It's something a little more bite-sized.
Yeah.
And just not as time-consuming.
Yeah. And that's the great thing about pipes like, for example, the shortstop.
By Missouri Meerschaum.
That's right. Missouri Meerschaum, of course, sponsor for this show. And the pipe they've got sponsoring this show is the shortstop tonight.
That's right.
Now, the shortstop is like it is the opposite of a Calabash pipe. Like, if there were two pipes,
that's
more
exactly
different,
right.
I can't even imagine what they'd look like.
That's exactly right. Shortstop, a beautiful, smallish pipe. You've got a small bowl on the end of a very thin pencil type shank with a Lavat style stem at the very end. And of course, the yellow plastic that they use just really kind of sets it apart, but just a very dainty pipe, one for a good short smoke, and it is a short stop.
All right, so I'm going to say something, and I hope that this does not offend, because I mean it's a beautiful pipe. I think that anybody, I really do. I look at it, and I'm like, man, I want to smoke it, just because it's so tiny,
yeah,
it looks so cute. but when I see it, the thing that it kind of makes me think of is like the classic snowman pipe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I could see that.
I feel like I want to add
Frosty
it.
Needs this pipe.
I want to add it to my collection, but like not necessarily because I want to like go to it as a regular smoke, but because I feel like I need it on hand for the next time, 20 years, God willing, when we actually have another snow in Mississippi, I'll have it ready for the snowman.
Well, it's the same reason that people come in at Halloween and they're like, where's your corncob pipes? And I'm like, they're right over here. They're, however much. And they're not buying them because they're necessarily pipe smokers, but they
are buying them.
They're dressing up as Popeye.
Yeah.
And if it's Halloween and you're Popeye, you got to have a pipe.
You got to have a pipe, and even though they tried to take away his pipe.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother thing.
Turkeys, yeah, that's no fair.
No, but I tell you what is fair, and that is the prices at Missouri Meerschaum. I'm talking about some really quality pipes for a really fair price. You got to check it out if you go to Missouri Meerschaum's website, corncobpipes.com. Really, really great. And hey, you know what? We want to give a big thanks to them. And one of the best ways that you can give a big thanks to Missouri Meerschaum is this week, after you're listening to this, go into your drawer, go into your cellar, wherever it is that you keep your pipes.
Yep.
Grab your favorite Missouri Meerschaum and take a picture with it. Tweet that into us at Squire Radio. We'll retweet that out. It's a great way to help show your love and support for Missouri Meerschaum as they have been helping us and showing us love and support for this show.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pipe question of the week.
Pipe question of the week this week is brought to us by Greg Bolin.
Yeah.
Now, Greg has written us a wonderful pipe question of the week that I think a lot of people can actually relate to. I think a lot of especially newer pipe smokers can, and even some of us who've been in it a while. You'll hear what I mean. Here's his question. He says, I have a question about the taste of the tobacco. I love the different smells, but I cannot tell a difference in taste. I was thinking about the difference in food with being an undertaster or a super taster. My wife says I am an undertaster, which is why I put hot sauce on everything to bring out more flavor that I can taste. So my question is there anything I can do to enhance the flavor of tobacco? Love the show, guys. Slowly getting my brothers hooked on the podcast. You've helped me find joy in smoking my pipe. And for all of that, I am thankful for you. So, Greg, thank you so much for that pipe question.
Yeah, wonderful question. You know, that's interesting. I've never really thought about until this question, you know, kind of the salt and pepper of the pipe world. You know, I mean, that's something that, you know, you add something you know, steak sauce or, you know, in his case, hot sauce, you know, to a dish to bring out more flavor. And, you know, I think that's where the custom blend kind of comes into play. You know, you've probably tried, you know, typically newer pipe smokers try a lot of different aromatic tobaccos. Yep. And we love aromatic tobaccos. And some of them, the flavors are more pronounced than others. But I have likened it before to drinking a flavored coffee. A lot of times it's, you know, you smell the coffee and you smell, let's say, like hazelnut or, you know, blueberry or whatever the coffee's flavored like. But then you drink it and it just kind of tastes like hot coffee, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes tobaccos can be similar in that way, particularly if you're newer to it because, you know, your palate just isn't trained to pick up a lot of those nuances of flavor. I think more of the nuances are going to come from, you know, non-aromatic tobacco that have, you know, a variety of very specific leaves in there that that you're tasting the flavor of the actual leaf rather than the casing. But a lot of times, you know, if you're a new smoker, you'll try these aromatic tobaccos and they smell incredible. And you know, when you smell them in the jar or in the tin, and then also when you burn it and the room note of the tobacco is just exquisite. But then you just taste kind of this, in your mouth, you just kind of taste heat, you know, or maybe just kind of a mellow, mild sweetness or something.
Right, right, yeah.
And that varies from tobacco to tobacco. And I think that, you know, is understandable. So, you know, I think that's where the beauty of blending your own and just trying a whole bunch of different stuff as well comes into play because a lot of tobaccos are just very different. I think the one that broke it open for me, well, two actually that broke it open for me was one of our blends here at the Country Squire called Cornishman. Cornishman is a English blend. It's the first English blend I ever smoked. And it was one of those that just that kiss of Latakia on there opened up all these flavors that I wasn't looking for before in a pipe tobacco. And I think when I realized kind of the options that were there because of what Cornishman had to offer, I started recognizing more and more, you know, what some of these different, what my tongue was experiencing, but didn't maybe necessarily have the ability to describe or something. Yeah, I don't know. And then the next time that happened, and what really pushed me over the edge was my first tin of Frogmorton. And Frogmorton, of course, we talk about McClellan tobacco all the time on the show, and Frogmorton in particular. But it's one of those tobaccos that it's kind of a gateway tobacco. You know, you see the beautiful artwork on the can, and you know, you hear things about it, you read all this stuff on the forums about it and everything. And if you're a new pipe smoker, a lot of times it's someone's first non-aromatic tobacco that they try. And I would really encourage, you know, folks that have never stepped into a non-aero to try Frogmorton. I think it'll kind of challenge your palate a little bit, but also open your eye up to a lot of different flavors that are there. And I think as you step into that more, you'll start to pick out more and more flavors. And then as you come back to the aromatics that you've known and loved before, your palate will be almost retrained enough to pick up stuff there in a new way. So, keep trying a bunch of stuff. Smoke your tobacco slow and as cool as possible. It's the best way to get flavors out of it. And, if push comes to shove and you just need to experiment some more and start mixing some stuff together to make your own, then, I think that's a great way to find the right taste for you.
Yeah. I think I want to challenge you.
I
think that, if you've listened to this podcast for even just a few episodes, you know that John David Cole has probably one of the most experienced and diverse palates in the tobacco world. I mean, it's insane to hear him describe some of these tobaccos, and some of the rest of us are kind of like, really? You got that out of this? Okay.
What does a nougat taste like?
All right. Here's what I would challenge. Perhaps John David Cole should come up with the hot sauce equivalent of a tobacco flavoring type experience.
That's fair. Yeah.
You know, maybe we need a salt and pepper type of blend to help bring a little something extra, a little comeback sauce, a little Tabasco, if you will. You know, what would that be like to sprinkle into your tobacco? Maybe you purchased a tin and it wasn't great and you just need a little something extra. I challenge
kicking up a notch, bam.
I challenge you, John David Cole, to come up with whatever that Emerald-esque bam is going to be for pipe tobacco.
It might just be a fistful of Latakia. I don't know. but maybe we could work on that. Yeah, something to take to tobaccos that just aren't quite doing it for you, or maybe you don't appreciate the flavors of, and how to make it palatable or enjoyable.
That'd be awesome.
I like that. I think that's worthy. Yeah.
Very cool. All right. Well, great question.
The A1 steak sauce of the tobacco world.
Great question, Greg. Thank you so much for sending that in. And hey, if you've got a pipe question, you can send them in csr@podastery.com.
Quick fire with the squire.
All right, quick fire question. All right, so this is continuing on from Dan Schultz, who sent this in to us a couple weeks ago. We've been combing through them. Last week, I think it was kind of like piracy and Star Wars.
Yeah.
Today,
fun combinations.
Yeah, today it's food for thought. Now, some of these I believe we've done before, although maybe not. Some of these we have, some of these we haven't.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah, bring them.
Jelly or jam?
Jam. Now, okay. Is jam the one that has all the stuff in it?
That's preserves, right?
Well, but no, there's still preserves. There's a difference between jelly and jam in that I think jam still has like seeds in it.
Yeah.
And jelly, I think it doesn't.
Like
it just has right.
Looks like Jell-O.
Whichever one has like all the junk in it, that's the one I like.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I like that one.
I think
that's jam.
Raspberry jam. Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go with you on that one as well. Crunchy peanut butter or smooth peanut butter?
Crunchy.
Smooth.
Really?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. There's something weird about the texture. I like peanut butter to be peanut butter.
To actually be butter, right?
Yeah.
I think for me, that's the part of the fun is the texture of the crunchy peanut butter.
All right.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I was one of these kids that, ate very strange things as a child. And so when I get to school, I loved the crunchy texture so much that I would actually ramp it up. And I would take my, peanut butter and jelly sandwich apart and then put, Lay's potato chips on the peanut butter and jelly sandwich and then close it back up and crunch it down. And then I wasn't just eating peanut butter and jelly. I was eating peanut butter and jelly with Lay's potato chips inside of it. And so it was this disgusting, beautiful, crunchy wonder. And I may or may not still do that today.
That does sound interesting. My wife does do this thing where she takes pecans and puts those in a peanut butter sandwich.
Yeah.
So it's smooth peanut butter, but there's pecans. For some reason, I like that, but
that's
I don't
nice.
Like crunchy.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Jambalaya or gumbo?
Gumbo.
Gumbo all the way.
Yeah.
Especially my gumbo, which is, by the way, award-winning.
Award-winning. It that's is right. award-winning.
I did add that to my Twitter handle, by the way.
Oh, you should.
I did. Yeah.
It's a badge of honor.
All right. Now, this is a tough one. M&Ms or gummy bears?
I'm going to go with M&Ms. I love chocolate, but I mean, gummy bears are incredible, but I think I'm going to have to go with M&Ms.
I'm going to go with you on that. Yep. M&Ms. I was having some classic old school M&Ms the other day.
Okay.
And I hadn't had M&Ms in a long time. You get to a certain age and you just don't eat candy all that much.
No, you don't.
You know, you eat a lot of unhealthy things way too much.
Right.
But you don't really eat candy all that much.
Well, I don't bump into it as much as I used to.
It's right there at the checkout counter at the grocery store.
Yeah, maybe so.
And you can get it if you want to, but you're like, nah, that's not healthy. Let me just go and, you know, slam this beer and eat this bacon and stuff. You know, like, the weird things, when you're an adult, you're like, this candy is unhealthy, but
right.
So thou will eat all of this way worse unhealthy
stuff.
Oh, it's
way worse stuff, right. Right.
And it's crazy. So... M&Ms.
Okay.
Chocolate, perfect candy crunch, M&Ms.
Let me ask this. Do you prefer regular M&Ms or peanut M&Ms?
Oh, man.
I'm a peanut M&M guy.
It depends on... Like, you say that, and I guess I would go for peanut because you feel like you're getting more bang for your buck. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
there's an extra filling. Like, you get more full from the peanut being involved in the process. It's a larger, candy snack. But... At the same time, like, there's just something classic about just old school M&Ms, man.
I love the stuff we talk about on the show.
Yeah, and some people don't. And then finally, pulled pork or brisket?
Pulled pork. I'm a pulled pork. I love brisket. I love brisket. Okay,
yeah.
Don't get me wrong. As a native Texan, like, brisket is near and dear to my heart. But give me a pulled pork sandwich mm-hmm. any day of the week.
Yep. You're exactly right. I'm right there with you. Pulled pork, sprinkle in some nice barbecue.
Or some coleslaw.
Spicy barbecue. A little coleslaw on the side.
Yeah.
That sounds great. Sounds wonderful. And you know what else sounds wonderful?
This Pipe Life.
That's right, man. That's This Pipe Life, which is our sponsor, final sponsor for this episode.
Yeah.
First, of course, big thanks to Dan for sending in those quick fire questions. If you've got quick fire questions, please send them in, csr@podastery.com. Or you know what? Maybe we need to start a quick fire questions thread in This Pipe Life, because thispipelife.com is the premier pipe community on the internet space. They've got the pipeline, which is their forums. It's one of these things where this is obviously a community that's been built with a lot of love. You've heard us talk about it for several episodes now.
That's right.
And if you haven't signed up, you absolutely should. And this is why. When you go in, you get such an experience that... I mean, let's be honest. There's a lot of times when you're kind of surfing the world of the pipe world online, you kind of think the 90s called and they want their website back. Just being honest. That being said, there's a lot of great websites out there that are doing some amazing things in the pipe community.
That's right.
And This Pipe Life is one of them that's even taken it to the next level. So
that's right.
We
that's
strongly
right.
encourage you. Head over to thispipelife.com. Register yourself today. And you know what? I'm committing to it right now. We're actually going to start a quick fire questions thread in the pipeline for thispipelife.com.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely.
So y'all head over there, send in your quick fire questions, and we'll be pulling from those for next week's episode.
Super vibrant community. We look forward to seeing y'all on there.
Your thoughts, your comments. Listener feedback.
Listener feedback. All right, man. So listener feedback tonight. We've got some great tweets that are rolling in.
Yeah, these are fun.
Dude, all right. Pulp, you got to make reference. I know it's more of a visual thing, but
yeah.
See what John just tweeted?
Yeah, John tweeted in, we talked about when growing the gourds in the shape of a pipe, with the calabash gourds, John tweeted in a picture of watermelons that are grown into a square. Basically this watermelon was put in a square mold and then grown. And then before you know it, you have a square watermelon. So yeah, he says watermelons are really easy to shape, as we'll see.
I mean, it looks, like little cubed watermelons. Somebody else who gets a shout out tonight is Pappy Badger. I guess he's coming after you, Pappy Joe. We got another Pappy who's tweeting in with a live show. Pappy Badger rocking a pretty amazing beard and a really awesome pipe. Do you know what kind of pipe that is?
Let's see here.
One of the things I love is for the live show, those of you that tune in and actually take a picture of yourself. And,
yeah, that's a Nording, if I'm not mistaken.
It looks like a Nording. Yeah.
Wearing a Chicago Bears t-shirt there.
Bears.
Which is good. Da Bears.
Younger listeners won't get that. Jason Cooper is actually right now, he's walking in downtown Ocean Springs and tuning in from there. So I hope you're having a lovely walk. If you've made it back home, then I hope you're enjoying your evening after your walk. And of course, Pappy Joe actually did, he did take a picture. He's got a beautiful calabash pipe.
Yep.
That is, sir, you are rocking that pipe.
Maduro Maniac says, in ancient times, Hawaiians did use gourds for warrior helmets. If you're crazy to wear one in battle, I'll run away from you. So, yeah, I think if you are crazy enough to wear a gourd as a helmet in battle, I'd probably don't want any part of a fight with you.
Love this feedback, man. Yeah, the great thing is with the live show, you can tune in, you can tweet us during the show. We want to try to get more and more of that live feedback and sharing that actually on the podcast itself. You know, we also got a comment that was sent in from Piper Dave on YouTube.
Yeah. So from Piper Dave on YouTube, he says, this is great. Now the Country Squire Radio has its own YouTube channel. Subscribed right away. Keep up the hard work, gentlemen. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks, Bo and John David. You guys rock.
Man, well, thank you so much, Piper Dave. Thank you, everybody who's tuning in for the live show, sending in that live feedback. We greatly appreciate it. You know, there's a lot of ways to send feedback. You can actually go onto iTunes and write us a review there. That's a wonderful way to send feedback. We love getting those Facebook messages, those tweets sent throughout the week. As I mentioned before, I will actually be in Miami by the time this podcast goes live. So if you happen to be out in the Miami area, be following us on Twitter and let us know where a good place to find a good pipe shop is. I actually typically, whenever I travel, I'll go to the Facebook page and ask the group and get some great recommendations there.
Preferably one near a Pokemon gym.
Yeah, that would be ideal. That, you know, if you've got, now, yes, forget what I said, what he said. That's what I want to know. So send us in that feedback. We love getting that in. Hey, let me also, if you don't mind me kind of taking a little bit of liberty since you mentioned the Pokemon thing.
Yeah.
So we've got a podcast I've mentioned before, the Pokemon Go podcast. If you do happen to be playing that game, do me a favor. Head over to iTunes while you're writing Country Squire Radio Reviews. Write us a review for the Pokemon Go podcast. You know, they've got a new team over there. They're finding their footing. I think they're doing a great job. They're going to take it in great places. But, you know, being the Pokemon world, this is really bizarre to me. There's a lot of haters out there.
No, there are.
We got a lot of flack for being, quote-unquote, Gen 1ers, as in we played the old games, but we haven't been playing for the last 15 years or
really?
Something like that.
I didn't know that was a thing.
I didn't know it was either, but, you know, the internet, one of the things, John David, that you and I have enjoyed is the good side of the internet. We've gotten so much positive
That's
feedback,
right.
So much love.
That's right.
And so it's, you know, as these guys have been kind of falling into their way and finding their stride, head over there, just write them, get them a good 5-star review. Let them know that if you like Pokemon Go and you want to see a good podcast, just let them know. Give them an attaboy and help support them in what they're doing. If nothing else, then as a personal favor to me. Also, we want to encourage you to check out the show on the Satchel Podcast Player.
That's right. We know a lot of y'all do already.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We really appreciate that. You know, the feedback that you guys are sending in, you can actually tweet that into me directly if you want. You don't have to text message John David, although
well,
I know he's...
You know, Danny had some good feedback. It was the easiest way to do it at the
no,
time.
It was great right. feedback. It was actually a feature that we were currently in development, so I was happy to see that.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Now we love that, guys. Y'all have been so supportive of everything that we've done here in all the various fun, crazy, weird worlds that we live in. You guys have been so great to support us, so we really appreciate you. Hey, if you'd like to tune into the live show, we want you to. You can tune in at CountrySquireRadio.com on Monday nights. That is typically at 6:30 Central Time, 4:30 Pacific, 7:30 Eastern. We always love for those that are able to tune in and join us for this experience. Of course, we also love getting those tweets in both during the live show and throughout the week. You can tweet into the show, which is at Squire Radio. You can tweet me, which is at The Real Bo York.
I'm at John David Cole, or you can get us at the shop at _ Country Squire.
Of course, all this contact information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. Man, what was that?
I don't know, but it came from something.
No,
it was a commercial.
It was a commercial.
Yeah.
Oh man, that takes me back. But it's like it starts me back, but it doesn't actually land.
It does. You never land because you don't know what it's from. It's like when someone they hum just the right thing, and I think of that old Red Robin commercial.
Red Robin,
yum.
I think we harmonized on that.
We might have a barbershop thing going here. I like that.
Seriously, because I've wanted to do that.
You know I've wanted to do that, right?
See, gosh, hey,
I always like to...
When I'm up here, you go up here.
I can't hang, dude.
All right, wait, let's go have a night.
See you, brother.
Listening to Country Squire Radio, a member of the Podastery Network. For more information on this and other shows, please visit podastery.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.